It's nice to be here. It seems as though I've been away for ages. And thank you very much, all of you musicians. It was great. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kelly and Pauline and Liz and Ashley. Yeah. It was very good. Thank you. And I'm still on hope. Because we've got this year's verse, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. I could make you sing it, but put your hand up if you want to sing it. Do you know, some of you, well done, Irma, some of you are childish like me. But Hope is, actually the dictionary definition is, hope is an emotion. It's something that we feel. And we feel it because of what we're thinking and because of the experiences that we've had in the past. Then we have feelings, and the feelings of hope. Hope is a positive emotion. It's about believing that the future will turn out well. It's about anticipating a good future. And the title of this sermon, Kevin will be pleased I've got a title, I've called it Hope Made Real. Or you can call it Hope Imagined. That is... It's really interesting because already we've had the first story that I was going to bring to you about hope made real is the one that we've had already once in prayers and once read out in the Bible reading. Because when I thought about hope made real, I thought, who in the Bible was in a place of desperation, really? Someone who felt that they had wasted their life, they had done things wrong, and they were at the point of this, when they speak these words, they were actually in the process of dying. So what possibility was there of changing that? And of course, it's the thief on the cross. At that point, he is aware that his life has been a bad life, and that he is actually being punished, and he says, punished justly. And he sort of reaches out to the person next to him, who he recognises is not in the same position. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I just think it's so wonderful that Jesus, even in the agony of actually being crucified, gives him this hope that is made real. He gives him this picture. He says, today, in a short time, at the moment you're feeling the agony that I'm feeling, but in a very short time, you are going to be with me. And we're going to be in paradise. If there's one thing that I think of as paradise, it's freedom from pain. And everything's lovely. What picture must have come into his mind? He's there in such agony, this thief. And then Jesus suddenly fills him with hope by giving him this amazing picture that very shortly you're going to be with this person that doesn't deserve that death. And we could be in paradise. Isn't that great? To give him that hope there. The other person that I particularly thought about was the woman taken in adultery. She's actually been caught in the act. And the religious people there have dragged her in front of everyone. She's not actually in the process of dying, but she is being threatened with a terrible death, a death of stoning. And they're getting ready to pick up the stones and throw them at her. So it must have been a very desperate situation for her. What hope was there? And then it's... Jesus, let me find it. They bring him to Jesus, and he starts writing. We don't know what he was writing in the sand. But then Jesus says to all the others, not to her, he says, if any of one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And then again, he stoops and starts to write. And it says at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. And with the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. And then these beautiful words, then neither do I condemn you. But this is the really good man. She knows she's been caught in this act. She knows the punishment. And he says, I don't condemn you. And then he says, go now and leave your life of sin. And in a way, I think he was perhaps, we could see it like this, and this is how I want to see it at the moment. He's painting for her a picture of what her life could be like. He's saying, I believe that you could lead a life apart from this thing. You can do it. I've got faith. Go and walk away from this life. Isn't that wonderful? He's giving her that picture. It can be different. And I just thought, well, that's hope made real. Hope imagined. Another person I thought of, someone that didn't at this particular point in this story meet Jesus, because Jesus wasn't yet born on the earth, was Joseph. I thought, how desperate was his situation? He had imagined that he was going to marry this beautiful young girl, Mary. And he obviously imagined that she was a virgin. He was going to have this wonderful life with her. And then he finds out she's pregnant. And his hopes are dashed. And then God steps in, because it says after he had considered this, which was that she was pregnant, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Joseph believed it. And it worked out well. But wasn't that amazing that God put that picture into Joseph's mind? It's not what everyone else thinks it is. It's something different. She is going to be highly favoured, because she is going to give birth to this special son. I thought that was, right, that is hope made real. That's a dream. That when I looked at visions, there's loads of visions in the Bible, but this is one that isn't usually particularly talked about. It's when Paul's in Corinth. And there have been several times when Paul has been put in prison and all sorts of things for preaching the gospel, all sorts of hardships. And it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city. And again, I felt that God was giving him a picture that he was going to be safe. And he needn't start anticipating what might happen, because he's got this word from God. He's going to be safe. So these are all times when hope was made real. And God is still in the business of making hope real to us. Now, I hope you're going to be indulgent, because you know that, you know, I'm an infant teacher, you know, retired. But so I've got a little exercise here, and you might not see the point of it till afterwards, but indulge me and do it. It's a thinking exercise, okay? So use your brains, and I want you to think about an elephant, okay? Get a picture of an elephant in your mind. If you've got that picture, if your elephant is standing still, then make that elephant walk in your mind. If he is walking, make him stand still. Okay? Make that elephant stop again. Now, make that elephant stand on its hind legs like it might in a circus. Okay? And now I want you to add sound to that picture. I want you to hear the elephant's roar in your mind. Now, I want you to let those elephant's ears grow and let it start to fly like Dumbo. Make your elephant fly and freeze frame it. Now, put a border around that picture you've got of your flying elephant. And now shrink that picture. Make it just a photo in your hand. Put some clouds in that picture. And three birds. And with your other hand, strike a match and put a match to the photograph and just watch as that photograph burns from the bottom to the top. And when it's too hot, just drop it and just see it in ashes at the bottom. Okay? And you can leave it there and you can come back into the room, okay? That's just to say, haven't you got an amazing mind? Have you got an amazing mind or what? Have you got power over your own thoughts? Can you make amazing things happen in your head? God has given us a fantastic gift, which is the imagination. And like every gift of God, we can use it for good or we can use it for ill. We can bring our imagination under God's control and God can use it to really bless us. Or we can allow Satan to infiltrate our minds and we can use it to harm us. Sometimes Christians have problems with feeling, whether it is it right to imagine in our minds Jesus standing there? Because is he really there? Or is it just our imagination? But actually, he is really here. So we are imagining reality. Sometimes we have, particularly in the Western world, we have this problem of deciding whether things are real or not, and only sort of scientifically things that you can prove are real. But as a Christian, we can't believe that, because the spiritual world is real. And one of the things that I was thinking about, there was one of the reasons that Jesus actually came to the earth. There were several reasons, but one of the reasons, it says, Hebrews 1, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. When we want to think about God, it's often very difficult to get a picture in our mind of God. And sometimes people get all sorts of wrong ideas about God. But actually the Bible says, when you want to know about God, look at Jesus. Because he is the exact representation of God. So when you want to think, what is God like? Look at Jesus. Because he's there. That's part of the purpose, that he came in the flesh so that we could see what God is like. So if you think that God is stern and judgmental, look at Jesus in that story that we read about the woman taken in adultery. Was he like that then? And he's the exact representation of God. So when you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. In fact, we are told in Hebrews to fix our eyes on Jesus. And reading Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It seems to me that there, whoever it was that wrote Hebrews, painted a picture for us to think about. And often lots of sermons are about running the race. And all the crowd of witnesses, they're cheering us on. Through the Bible, has given us lots of images to put into our minds to help us. And that's one of them. Another picture is of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We've got that lovely picture. If any of you don't know, this is a beautiful cross stitch. Connie did this, didn't you, Connie? And gave it to us. It's a beautiful picture, and many, many people have found comfort by thinking about themselves as a sheep and Jesus as a shepherd. In John it actually says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said that. He gave us that picture because he knew it would comfort us. So many, even non-Christians, find such comfort in Psalm 23. It's that picture. And God gave us that to bring comfort to us. Another picture that he gives, and it really reminded me of you, Pauline, because, you know, at the church weekend, Ian and Gunnar had given us those verses, which was such a blessing. It was a real blessing, mine was to me. And you said how much yours had helped you. And it's that picture of Jesus, the rock. I think it was Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He's a rock. And do you remember the one time that David did the picture of Edinburgh Castle on that rock? Because pictures help us to imagine what it's like. And scripture is full of pictures that we can think about, and that God will speak truth into our lives. Another one that really comes to mind is Luke 15, the prodigal son. You've got that picture of the son coming home to say, I've messed up. And the picture of the father running to him and hugging him. That picture has helped so many people to know that when they've messed up, actually, Jesus is there. He's coming towards us, ready to hug us, ready to put the cloak on and the ring on and to have the party and everything. In the same chapter in Luke 15, you get the parable of the lost sheep. And that's another parable which puts pictures in your mind. And I don't know, you ever imagine yourself as a little sheep that's gone astray, and you're way out, and Jesus comes and finds you and puts you on his shoulders. I've got a picture at home with, you know, the sheep draped over like a scarf, you know. And that lovely picture there, and the bit in the story where it says he comes back to his neighbours and he says, let's have a party. That is how God thinks about us. When we come back, he says, that's how excited I am that you want to be with me. I want a party in heaven. It's a beautiful picture, and it really speaks to us about how much Jesus really does care for us. And I've written down David and Goliath. I mean, so many people have been helped by thinking, well, I'm only a little person, and there's a huge giant there. But with God, the giant can be slain. So all these are pictures that the actual Bible gives us. But, do you know, we don't have to stop there. We can make our own personalised images. Now, I was reading a book of Greg Boyd saying, seeing is believing. But I've made up some of my own. I really thought, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm really going to enjoy this. So, and actually, I went to see my sister, my younger sister, this week, and she'd got a book by Joyce Meyer, Eat the Cookie and Buy the Shoes. And she was saying that there are times when she rewards herself for something by eating a cookie. Okay, because she's done something and she thinks, yeah, that's good. I deserve a cookie. And she was talking to some friends about this, and one of the women said, but I couldn't do that. I'd never have a cookie, because I know that if I had one cookie, I'd have to eat another one and another one and another one. And Joyce Meyer sort of points out that there is a verse in the Bible that addresses this problem. And it's in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So, if you had this problem, if this was your problem, you know, you can't enjoy one cookie because you're afraid that it'd be another cookie and another cookie and another cookie. What you could do, you've got this verse here that says that you've not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, you've been given a spirit of self-discipline. So you decide, how often would it be good for me to have a cookie? Maybe once a week. I don't know. Say it was once a week. So you're praying about this and you're saying, oh God, it would be so good for me to really enjoy a cookie. So in your imagination, you imagine eating a cookie and how delicious it would be. And you thoroughly enjoy it. And you say, thank you, God, for that cookie. And you don't eat another one in your imagination. You just say, thank you for that one. And you say, and thank you, God, I can have another one next week. Okay? And that's the end of your imagined scenario. And you do it as many times as you need to. And you say, God, you say in your word, you've given me a spirit of self-discipline. And I'm going to use this brilliant brain you've given me to imagine it. And to imagine how much I'm going to enjoy it. I don't have to totally deny myself. I'm going to really enjoy it. And I'm going to say thank you. And I'm going to leave it there till next week. And I'm going to enjoy it again. Do you think that's brilliant? I think it's brilliant that you can do that. Now, there's another verse that I think is great for using your imagination creatively and in a godly way. And it's 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And it's a beautiful verse. It says, cast all your anxiety on him. Because he cares for you. And already this morning I've heard of people that have got anxieties. Whatever your anxieties are. So you could write out each little thing that was an anxiety. I know I've done this with people and there's loads of different ways of doing it. You can adapt it to what suits you. But I thought, well, whatever is my worry, I can sort of imagine that worry. Can you do that? I can do that. I'm good at that. I just sort of think, don't be too personal. Martin sometimes. I worry about Martin sometimes. I put Martin and I'm going to parcel him up in a parcel. And I'm actually going to give that parcel to Jesus. Because he can care for Martin. I don't have to worry about him. He doesn't want me worrying. He wants to take my worries. So I can parcel them up and give them to him. I might take them back because we are stupid, aren't we? We're stupid creatures and sometimes we take our worries back. But we can do it again. And again, and give them to Jesus. I mean, that is an image that helps me. It might not help you. There's loads of verses you can do this with, you know. I've got another one here, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. You know, and I know when I was doing the diploma at CWR, it was like a mountain in front of me. I couldn't imagine how I could actually do it. But I knew he was going to get me there. He was going to get me there. And I imagined that I would get there. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I was going to climb this mountain because he was going to do it with me. So these are all ways of using our imagination with the Bible. But you can use your imagination in prayer as well. And this has really, really blessed me. Before I went on holiday this year, I had a little chat with Jesus about my holiday. It really helped because we, for the first time, we were going back somewhere we'd been before. So I'd got pictures to put in my mind. So I was, we were at Sharm el-Sheikh, and there are great big jetties into the sea, go about a quarter of a mile into the sea. And we'd had some walks there, and I thought, that's really good. So I'd said to Jesus, how about this year, before breakfast, I'll go down and I'm going to walk along that jetty and back, and I'm going to have a really good time with you, and I'm just going to look forward to the day, and it's just going to be such a wonderful time with you. And I imagined what it was going to be like having that time of praise by myself with Jesus in that lovely warmth and seeing the beautiful blue sea. It was going to be so good. And I imagined myself there. And then when we went, what did I do the first morning? I made it real. I went and walked. And I put my iPod on. A beautiful song that I love from CD called Passionate Bride. I just want to love you with nothing in the way. I just want to tell you in my heart you'll stay. I just want to love you more. There's an aching in my spirit to know you more each day. A hunger and a thirsting that just won't go away. I just want to love you more. It was just so beautiful. And I was saying this to God, and then I would switch, you know, off the iPod, and I was just sort of saying, oh, I really love you, Jesus. I really, really love you. And to me, and you can say, well, it's just your imagination, I don't care what you say, but to me, he was saying, I really love you, Katie. I really love you, Katie. And then I say back to him, but I really love you, Jesus. I really love you. And he'd say back to me, I really love you, Katie. I called it my lovey-dovey praise time. It was just, you know, not a lot of content, but a relationship. It was about that personal relationship with Jesus. I just felt his love, and I just wanted to express his love. And I'm sure that the imagining it beforehand had made a difference. And when we pray about situations that we're, you know, are still in the future, we can pray imagining Jesus there with us and the difference that it's going to make with him there. He's given us the imagination that we can do that, and we can think, yeah, it's going to be good because you are going to be there with me. And so my plea today is that we will use hope. Hope is an emotion that comes because of what we're thinking about. And I want us to begin to use our imaginations to put ourselves into Bible stories, to imagine God's truth being true, which it is. And I thought would be quite nice if we just had a few minutes just to meditate on that verse. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So just think about that verse, and however you want to imagine giving your anxieties to him.